The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report from Monday, March 12, 2007. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimball of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. Later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. In agricultural news, Brazilian millers are applauding a memo of understanding between the U.S. and Brazil over ethanol. Also, there could be localized nitrogen fertilizer shortages this spring, and the U.S. and South Korea may be close to reaching a free trade deal. I'll have these and other stories this half hour, and the folks from Chesapeake Energy will have the latest on agricultural weather. It's all on the Monday edition of your Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
Monday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City. March wheat 502 down 4.5. May 497.25 down 4.75. At the Board of Trade in Chicago, March wheat 460 down 5.5. May 470.75 down 5.75. July 483.25 down 6. March corn 399.75 down 8.5. May 409.25 down 8.25. July 419.75 down 7.75. December 402.75 down 5. March soybeans 752.25 up 5.75. May 765 up 5.25. July 780.75 up 5. November 804 up 4.5. March soybean meal 218.30 up 180. March soybean oil 30.35 up 13. At the Merck, March feeders 105.77.5 up 62.5. April live cattle 102.02 up 57.5. April lean hogs 67.95 unchanged on the day. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Kurt Kimball of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon, Kurt.
Afternoon, Dave.
Well, right after you get off the phone, or shortly thereafter, you're going to be heading over my way to Parkland College, where we have another one of our free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panels this evening. The meeting in room C118. And it gets underway this evening at 7 o'clock. And in addition to Kurt, we'll have Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities, Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, a full range of panelists. And if I've been listening to these folks all spring, they have some varied opinions on what will happen to the markets throughout the planting season and into the summer. So be sure to come by 7 o'clock this evening, Parkland College, room C118. No advance registration required, and the meeting is free. Kurt, what are you going to talk about tonight?
Well, we'll probably visit a little bit about acreage expectations. It's amazing that all of a sudden the industry is starting to really listen to the producer. I think the producer's been signaling clear back last fall that they were going to be heavier corn, a little lighter the beans, a little lighter cotton, maybe tear up some wheat acres and do something with them, and even be lighter in the peanut acres, in fact. So I think the industry is starting to realize the producer's getting a little bit more dialed in to actually what he's going to do now that the weather's starting to cooperate, and we're starting to see field activity take place even in the deep south.
ADM had a dial in today based on reports from Producers saying 88.5 million acres of corn will be planted, 900 of its grain elevators contributing to that report, and that's a little bit more, 1.5 million more than USDA's current estimate.
Well, that's in that 10 million acre benchmark. Mm-hmm. And ourselves as a company, we've been there ever since last December, so I'm proud they finally agreed with us and to our numbers, but we'll see who's right at the end of the month. But you know, a lot of this acreage, you got to remember, is that it's going to vary on this spring weather. If we would turn back to a wetter pattern, cooler, it's going to be hard to, get in. You know, we can see that corn acreage shrink. If we would happen to warm up to 70s like tomorrow for most of the Midwest and stay there for a while, the corn acreage could probably grow. So, this acreage is just going to be an event for a day, and after that, they're going to put that in the top line, and they're going to multiply yield times acres or harvested acres, and that's going to be more of a market mover than whether somebody's right by 1, 2, 3 million acres.
Meanwhile, over at the Board of Trade today, it was a tale of two markets, a tale of two pits, the soybeans showing positive gains on the day, while corn losing from a percentage standpoint a pretty good piece of change today. Was that on spreading?
Somewhat, yes. If you look at the corn market, it's sort of classified as an old bull market, and there's been a lot of money made in the corn market, and your so-called trading hedge funds are looking for a new thing to get into or get into another commodity that's got potential, and we've seen them shift from corn into beans here over the last few weeks. It's nothing new. It's been taking place, but it's a little bit more aggressive. Especially if the weather cooperates. Corn's going to get in. It's going to back off from the fears of not getting the corn in and in more bean acres. Then, two, beans have seen some renewed export interest. Asia in general has been a big buyer of beans here lately. They've been buying two or three cargoes from Brazil, a couple cargoes from Argentina, and a couple cargoes here from the U.S., so business has picked up. And, of course, beans have seen the benefit of the investment funds coming back in and being buyers. Then, two, the weather situation in the Southern Hemisphere might be kind of disappointing for those wanting to try to make some harvest activity. The drier areas have now turned a little wet, and it's going to slow down harvest activity in the Southern Hemisphere. And also, too, there's some areas that could probably look at a little bit of quality problems, too, with the wet weather.
And how's the truckers' strike in Argentina going these days?
Well, it's amazing. they got the system figured out. You go on strike when the demand's the highest or going to be the highest. Trucker strike, you probably see a dock strike before it's over with. I have a feeling these are going to be short-lived. But if you're going to make a point, you do it in the heat of battle. You don't go on strike during your off season.
Meanwhile, if you draw some long-term uptrend lines, and I mean from the rally that began back in September through some key points, and you can pick them exactly which ones you wish to do it. But if you, for the most part, if you pick the logical ones, it looks like corn has broken below the long-term trend line. Should we be concerned about this?
Most definitely. Depends what type of angle you draw, but a lot of the trades technically orientated. I mean, long term the fundamentals dictate, but the trade's going to use the fundamentals for the signals to buy or sell. And when you start violating trend lines, you start violating moving averages. You got to respect that. And the key price reversal we saw 2 weeks ago was step one. Now we're in a process of making lower lows and lower highs. So the momentum's down here. I'm not saying we're going to go back down to $1.80 right away, but we're vulnerable here for a while. The market's been incredibly overbought in the corn market, that is. And we're due to back and fill. How low we go here, I would say, hopefully, as a producer and wanting the market to go up, I'd say the worst-case scenario would be lead contract back to this 377 area. And you can come up with several technical indicators that suggest that would be fairly solid support if they want to liquidate this thing.
So you think back and fill all the way to the January report date?
Possibly. 377. Yeah, well, the key is the March contract goes off here this
on
week.
Wednesday, I think.
And so then you got the May, and so you got to deal with this expiring futures contract up front.
I know you often predicate what I'm going to ask next with the remark that it depends on the individual producer, but there's got to be some general guidelines for you to offer when these prices are beginning to fall like this about what you ought to be looking at doing.
Well, it's amazing. 2 weeks ago, majority of the individuals you visit with talked about how much they sold way too soon, what was not real interested in selling. Now all of a sudden they're wishing I should, I could, I would have. So the mentality has shifted the other way dramatically. I don't want to get in a panic mode here, but the simplest thing you can do right now and to protect yourself and not let this market get away from us in case, you know, we just see a total meltdown is to buy a put option. And you can even come up front here and buy a put option for as little as 4 to 6 cents to put a floor under you. And this is to get you through the March report here in 2 weeks. And if you buy that put, and if this report shows 14 million corn acres and all of a sudden the weather cooperation, this thing just totally collapsed, you've got some pretty good downside protection here if this thing really melts down. If that report only shows 8 million corn acres, we turn wet and all of a sudden this thing starts gapping limit up, yeah, you'll be out 4 to 6 cents, but I think it's well worth 4 to 6 cent investment to protect these levels, Dave.
Thank you much, Kurt.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. Taking a look at Ed Kieser's two-state forecast tonight, he says partly cloudy, lows ranging from 42 degrees in northwestern Illinois to near 50 in the south. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny and windy, highs ranging from 68 degrees in the north to 78 degrees in the south. Tomorrow, wind speeds again, 15 to 25 miles per hour. Gusty winds looking as well. And then looking the extended Indiana, scattered showers and thunderstorms arriving on Wednesday. And showers and thunderstorms widespread Wednesday night. Colder air arriving on Thursday with some lingering showers and cooler than average weather expected Friday through Sunday. And milder weather with occasional showers and thunderstorms can be expected much of next week as well. In agricultural news, Brazil's sugar and corn industries are touting the new Brazilian biofuel accord. The memo of understanding calls for expanded cooperation for new research and development, and it calls for joint work on the establishment of uniform standards and codes for biofuels, a subject that is of keen interest to Brazilian millers. Together, the U.S. and Brazil produce over 70% of the world's ethanol. But Brazil did not get elimination of a 54-cent a gallon U.S. import tariff on ethanol. President Bush said he would not seek to end the tariff. The National Farmers Union says the renewable fuels agreement will hurt U.S. producers because it could allow foreign ethanol investors to receive U.S. tax subsidies to increase consumption and production of ethanol. The chief U.S. trade negotiator in free trade talks with South Korea says the two sides will meet in Washington, D.C. next week, and a final deal may emerge before the end of the month, the deadline to take advantage of presidential fast-track authority. Wendy Cutler says work remains in unresolved areas, including automobiles, but an overall agreement is, in her words, within our grasp. Meanwhile, the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, Max Baucus, says he expects that Presidential Trade Promotion Authority will not be extended at the end of June when it's scheduled to expire. Legislation that would extend TPA would likely originate in the Senate Finance Committee or in the Ways and Means Committee in the House. Meanwhile, World Trade Organization Chief Pascal Lamy warned today that global trade talks are taking place at too slow a pace, and the window of opportunity on the Doha round will soon slam shut. Also today, China blamed the U.S. and Europe for failure to revive world trade talks, noting both had made inadequate offers to cut farm subsidy programs. Scientists are looking to measure ammonia and hydrogen sulfide emissions from feed yards. Ken Casey is an air quality engineer with the Texas Agricultural Experiment Station in Amarillo. Casey says the Environmental Protection Agency is taking an interest in livestock emissions.
These gases are an environmental concern. And while there are regulations that cover the emissions of these gases, there's none that are directly applied to feed yards. But in recent years, there's been quite a bit of interest in how much ammonia and hydrogen sulfide are emitted from these facilities. And at a national level, EPA is compiling inventories of particularly how much ammonia is emitted from these facilities. And as a result, the ag industries have had to, in a way, play catch-up to get good data about how much of these pollutants are actually being emitted.
Casey says emissions will be monitored over the course of a year, allowing scientists to discover both daily and seasonal trends. A Kansas State University agricultural economist says expect local shortages in nitrogen fertilizer this spring. Terry Kasterns says prices are already varying dramatically. The vice president of U.S. Crop Protection for Monsanto says the fertilizer industry cannot supply more than 85 to 86 million acres of corn this planting season. Between 1998 and 2006, the U.S. lost 42% of its capacity to produce nitrogen-based fertilizers because natural gas prices made it impossible for domestic producers to compete internationally. More than half of this year's nitrogen fertilizer will come from imports. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson says the commodity programs of the 2002 Farm Bill should be extended in the 2007 Farm Bill. Peterson says, and this is a quote, "Anyone who is going to take this apart is going to have a fight on their hands." Peterson also says he has asked the House Budget Committee for $6 billion over 10 years for biofuels development. The American Meat Institute is applauding legislation that would clarify the Superfund law by prohibiting its use in routine farm operations. AMI Senior Vice President for Regulatory Affairs, Mark Dopp.
It would remove livestock manure from the confines of being identified as a hazardous waste under the Superfund statute that's been in existence for about 25 years now. If Congress were to enact this, it would remove a great potential burden from the backs of, farmers and ranchers across the country.
In fact, Dopp says AMI does not believe Congress ever did intend for the Superfund law to be used to address the normal application of animal manure as fertilizer.
There's some guidance with respect to the statute that certainly suggests that this law was only intended to be applied for places that are identified as closed or abandoned. And if you've been to most of the operating facilities or ranches and farms around this country, they're anything but closed.
The Agricultural Protection and Prosperity Act of 2007 is co-sponsored by a bipartisan group of 9 senators and 59 representatives. USDA tweaked its numbers Friday for the acreage expected to come out of the Conservation Reserve Program between 2007 and 2010, increasing the number by 500,000 acres to a total of 4.6 million. An estimated 23.2 million acres are expected to be re-enrolled in the CRP. Of the 4.6 million acres, about 1.4 million are located in major corn-producing states. Senate Ag Committee Chairman Tom Harkin wants to develop a rural collaborative investment program as part of the 2007 Farm Bill. According to Harkin, creating job equity and improving the quality of life for rural America will be a priority in the upcoming Farm Bill. He says Congress can do that by devising rural development strategies that combine the financial resources and creativity of the nonprofit sector in partnership with USDA and other government programs that are useful in rural areas. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market is Wyatt Muse of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Wyatt.
Good afternoon, Dave. What do you say?
I say, go Illini. They're in the tournament.
There we go. Hey, that's a good thing. Step in the right direction.
You got to be in the game in order to win the game.
That's right.
And I guess that would also be the truth for marketing as well. You got to be in the game to win the game.
That's right also.
Let us look at the cash grain. Are the trends toward firmer tones these days?
Not so much on the corn side. Saw a lower close on the week last week, followed through by lower session today. December corn did trade up a penny at one point today before closing down five. The beans have showed us some strength lately, though. We're up five on the day today, a penny on Friday, and two last Thursday, 9 cents before that. So we've had a nice little bounce in beans after getting beat up pretty good 2 weeks ago.
And how's that playing into the basis market?
Basis is relatively unchanged. I've seen some of the fall basis levels fading, especially on the corn side. I'd say that's mostly due to heavy hedging after the insurance guarantee was out and people start getting lined out on their year, realizing that they're going to have more corn to go to town. That's really pressuring that fall basis. But old crop basis has been relatively unchanged.
And the soybeans?
Just about the same. Old crop soybean basis remains pretty weak, but the new crop beans are holding on pretty good. They're pretty well stable for past several months or so.
Overall, if you did the math from the beginning of January, what would you say about basis? Has it increased or decreased from the first of the year?
It's widened since the first of the year. Basis all around has widened. I think there was some fear right at the first of the year that people were going to get their ground piles picked up and then none of this on-farm corn was going to be moving, and it's moved pretty well. And I would say that both corn and bean basis has widened since the first of the year, but especially on the bean side, it doesn't seem like the processor is too hungry for old crop beans right now.
If we have a bearish or bullish surprise, and let's call it a bullish surprise, got to pick one.
Okay.
On the crop intentions report for corn.
The 30th of March, that's right.
Yeah. What will it do to basis 30 days after?
I would have to say that's got to be a function of the individual markets themselves. I can't peg that for nationwide. Around here, I could see people locking in more fall basis. We've been encouraging that for months now, but basis just seems to keep inching wider for fall. But pretty sure the farmers around here pretty well realize there's going to be a lot of corn planted. So just keep in mind basis is a localized issue, and it's already very wide in some places. And I would suspect that if it's not already in your home area, it's probably going to head that direction.
How much room do you have in your elevator at the moment?
We've got some extra room, but got a little bit on to arrive that's not been able to work its way this way because of the wet farm lots. People aren't able to get into their bins when it's been full of snow and then now full of mud. So we got some room, certainly taking plenty of grain, but anticipate to take a lot more here between the time barn lots dry up and people go to the field.
Prices today?
Cash corn, we're at $3.91. Fall delivery is $3.81. Our cash soybeans are $7.29. And fall delivery, $7.82. July delivery wheat, $4.48.
Thank you much, Wyatt.
Yep, have a great day, Dave.
Wyatt Muse of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. University of Illinois trustees will have two possibly competing resolutions in front of them dealing with Chief Illiniwek. The trustees meet tomorrow in Urbana, and the first item on the roll call agenda is a resolution closing the so-called consensus process in dealing with the chief. Last month, Board Chairman Larry Epley suddenly announced that Symbol's final dance would take place the subsequent week. That's led angry chief supporters to ask if Epley took action without the consent of other trustees. Epley has said he consulted with the board, and the announcement didn't break open meetings laws. The second resolution asks the U of I to join two former chiefs' lawsuits against the NCAA, something the U of I leaders have been unwilling to do. The meeting is tomorrow morning in the Illini Union, where the university will use the ballroom as an auxiliary seating area. The Illinois College Savings Program is getting an overhaul that's meant to increase earnings and lower costs. State Treasurer Alexi Janulius announced today that a new financial firm will take over management of the Bright Start Savings Program. He says Oppenheimer Funds has a better track record of earnings on its investments and should be able to make more money for Bright Start participants. One recent review ranked the Illinois Savings Program 47th out of 48 such programs in the country. Oppenheimer will also charge lower fees, low enough to save participants about $5,000 to $10,000 over 18 years. About 1,000 people packed a hall in Valparaiso, Indiana, over the weekend to vent about a proposed tollway. The Illiana Expressway would link Interstate 94 in northwest Indiana with Interstate 57 in Illinois. The trustee in Morgan Township in Porter County, Dick Schultz, says the road would create dead ends for many local roads and split farms in that township in half. The State Board of Education has proclaimed the Illinois Arts Education Week. Interim State Superintendent Christopher Cook says art and culture classes are important for a student's academic and social development. And a sorority that got national attention for evicting members is being evicted itself from the DePauw University campus in Greencastle, Indiana. The mass eviction of members from the Delta Zeta sorority raised concerns that looks and appearance were valued more than academics and other contributions. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is meteorologist Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, this is probably going to be some pleasant news to producers, especially in the eastern Corn Belt. Looks like at least in the next few days, a drying trend is in line.
Well, Dave, that certainly is the pattern here over the next several days, as dry weather along with unseasonably warm temperatures will prevail. Unfortunately, that looks rather short-lived, as things will be changing, starting across the northern belt later on Wednesday as an Arctic front pushes southward, and then for Thursday, Friday, and on through the St. Patrick's holiday weekend. It looks like we will return to a more kind of wintry pattern, with unseasonably cool temperatures and some precipitation.
What are you keeping an eye on that would indicate, an early indicator that we might be seeing a change in the trend that has been trending toward the wet end of things, at least for the much of this month?
Well, the things that we're watching here in particular are water temperatures across the equatorial Pacific, our El Nino or La Nina region. And the way that we stand right now, we continue to see a cooling of waters across the equatorial Pacific. And in fact, we're pretty much dead on neutral, but it looks like we are evolving into a La Nina with time. So what does this mean? Well, main item with our evolving La Nina event is at least some reduced moisture flowing from the Pacific on into the U.S. Now, that doesn't necessarily focus on one particular area, but the cooler your water temperatures are, just the less moisture there is available. So that's something to watch here, depending on how quickly water temperatures continue to drop over the next several months. The faster that they drop, moisture coming into the Midwest, meaning kind of a normal or even drier spring.
Let's turn our attention to South America and Brazil, where it looks like they're going to be dry at least until the end of the week.
Yeah, especially across the northern areas of Brazil and a good chunk of Argentina. And for Argentina, this dryness is needed following the very heavy rains over the past couple of weeks. And overall, as we wrap up the growing season in both Brazil and Argentina, there continues to be no significant issues of note, and it looks like we're going to see big crops coming out of both areas here as we end the growing season.
We're not the only nation looking to plant corn. China is as well. But it looks like in southeastern China, they're having some delays.
Yeah, well, they've been on the active side across the southeast southeastern areas of China, particularly the Yangtze River Valley acreage, which is not all that uncommon for this time of year. And overall, from a forecast standpoint, it looks like that active pattern will continue over the next week to 10 days. So if there are any early season planting delays across that area, they'll continue here. But overall, that's not a big issue at this early stage of the season.
Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome, Dave.
Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. And that is today's closing market report. Remember, you can hear today's futures analysis, cash grain report, and weather on the World Wide Web. Go to willag.org and click on our audio link. This is Dave Dickey.